your book's journey isn't over after it's been launched. Nope, it's got a whole lifetime ahead of itself. And so while I'm leading you through writing and launching a best-selling book, I'm also showing you how to make that book work for you for the rest of your career and your life. Welcome to Launch Your Book with Anna David. Hi there, you're listening to Launch Your Book with Anna David. I am your host, Anna David, and every week I either break down a question, break down a strategy, or interview an author or entrepreneur, often an authorpreneur as they're known, about how they launched their books and how it took them to the next level. So today I have a very special guest, even though they're all terribly special. This one, you know, special italicized and underlined. His name is Alex Strathdy, and he is somebody who wrote a book right out of college, released it, heard those crickets that many people hear when they don't have a launch strategy in place. But instead of putting that book on the shelf and, you know, coming up with something new, he said, how can I get people to read this book? And he and his co-author came up with a strategy to get it in front of 40,000 college students. Problem was, it was a bootstrapped strategy. So then they came up with a way to get companies to pay for that promotion. It's ingenious. Now he runs a company that helps authors with Amazon ads. And spoiler alert, he's so good at it that once we stopped recording, I hired him to do my Amazon ads. So you definitely want to get his tips, and you can get them by going to launchpadpub.com/blog/Alex. He actually has a free gift just for you, but you got to go to the show notes to get it. Again, that's launchpadpub.com/blog/Alex. And this gift is going to tell you how you can do your Amazon ads and have the success that he has. So with that, I give you Alex Strathdy. So here we go, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me today on Launch Your Book.
Thank you so much for having me, Anna.
Well, so I was telling you that I was going to out you as someone who pitched himself. And the reason that I'm outing you as such is that I am pitched guests every day. And I actually am that rude person who deletes. I just don't even respond because it's really clear they don't know what the show is. They don't have anything that will help my audience. And all I care about is helping you guys. Alex sent me the most glorious pitch, breaking down exactly who he was and, most importantly, how he could serve you guys. And that was so exciting to me. Plus, he had clearly listened to the show. Or if he hadn't, he did a really great job of faking it. So let us talk about why this person is so good for this show. So he released a book and managed to post-launch get all this traction with it with no budget and no huge team and get it into all of these schools, I believe 40,000 schools?
40,000 students, 11 colleges.
40,000 students. Okay, yeah. That's like more schools than exist almost. And so many other things. And he actually also has a company that helps authors with Amazon ads, which is sorely needed. So welcome to the show, Alex.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let us talk about your journey. You had just graduated from college when you wrote your book?
Correct. I graduated in the spring of 2018, and we wrote the book at the end of the year.
So you write this book, and the book is all about waking college students up to the fact that there's no job waiting for them, which we've all been led to believe there will be, correct?
Exactly.
So you write this book as a service, as I'm assuming you had learned firsthand, oh my God, there's no job waiting for me. I better warn the people coming after me.
Yeah, essentially, the good friend who I wrote it with and I, we didn't have great GPAs in college. We weren't the ones with 4.0 GPAs. And yet, somehow, we were still getting interviews with the likes of Google and Amazon and LinkedIn, which is where he actually ended up working. And we realized that what students weren't focusing on that they needed to be was experiences. And it's the same way, Anna, with you know the plethora of experiences you've had in the past, everything ends up coming relevant again. And so it's a matter of just gaining all these experiences that when you can show up to a company, really show these transferable skills. So that's what we ended up putting into the book.
fascinating. It is true. Every, you know, I've now lived quite a long time, and everything that you do, it's, you think, oh, this is this random job I had. This was this random experience I had. And it's just shocking when you look at your life and you realize that every single thing you've experienced plays into what you're doing at this moment. At least that's been my experience.
When I wrote that book, I had no idea I'd be talking with you here, what, now 3 years later?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking the truth. So tell me what happened. So you guys write this book. Do you hire an editor? You hired a launch team? How did that work?
We do not come from money. So my good friend Rishab, he lived on food. He was a Nepalese war refugee living here in the US on food stamps, was able to get himself into college. I had a similar, not to that degree. He wins in the pity competition there. I give him that. I do not have the similar, that similar background, but, definitely had to pay my way through things. And so, writing this book, starting off as, at that time we were, a 20-year-old and a 21-year-old, we didn't have a budget. And so a lot of it was just bootstrapping. We did end up hiring this consultant to help us launch it to the Amazon bestsellers list. And we thought that that would continue to do all of the marketing for us. We thought, oh, great. As soon as we hit that list, then we're golden forever. And it's great. It allowed us to then, be able to market and get in the door with all those universities later on, having that title. But it certainly wasn't what kept the book evergreen.
Well, I think that a lot of authors believe I'll tell them you can launch huge speaking careers, you can get all these clients. So they believe they will release their book and suddenly places are going to start calling them. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, unless you obviously have the runaway smash sensation. So you realize that. What was your next step?
Yeah, I like to say never trust someone who doesn't walk with a limp. And man, we were walking with a limp, that is for sure. Because if I could go back, I would have spent 50% planning the marketing of the book and not just writing it. So a year on from the launch, we launched it, on, I believe it was 14 different, bestseller titles or whatever. And then from then we realized, wait, this book is not having the impact we wanted it to. It's not actually reaching students. It's not actually doing anything for us for two reasons. One, college students are broke. They don't have money to spend on a non-required reading material. And then two, we just weren't even getting in front of them. We had no plan to actually show up in front of these college students. And so that's where we thought, well, okay. And a lot of people, Dave Chesson talked about it really well in his episode with you, where it's not necessarily just about finding your target audience. It's about finding the gatekeepers to that audience and providing value to them. And so when we showed up with this Amazon best-selling book as a free resource to provide to these college students through these universities, they were more than happy because we were leading from a point of value of, hey, we want to provide this best-selling resource to your students. And so they were actually, we had colleges like Yale and a bunch of other colleges. I didn't go to Yale, didn't go to Harvard, didn't go to one of those Ivy Leagues. So it was even cool just to get emails back from some of those schools. But yeah, that's essentially then we had to start thinking about, okay, how do we actually get this in the hands of readers?
So wait, did you pay to send to those schools? You paid for the copies?
I sat in coffee shops weekend after weekend, web scraping 3,000 emails of various career service professionals. I could tell you what the University of Texas, I could tell you University of Nevada, I could tell you how all their websites are set up. I have been to every university's website in the US, I believe. And then I spent the few weekends after that actually emailing every single one of them to basically just say, hey, here's what we want to offer your students. And then from there, I think we had about 50 colleges get back to us. And so none of this was paid. Again, we didn't have budget to spend on this. I did have a job at that time, but that was all going to savings. And so this is just, we had to bootstrap it.
Okay, so you sent them the ebook. Like, where did the, so because then did they end up ordering the books and that's how you made all the impact? That's how you sold copies.
Yeah, so we created a ebook distribution for them. So they distributed a free ebook. So it's like, okay, this is great. We've got an audience now, but we're still not making a return on the book, or we're not even able to make money because we had plans way beyond the book. The book was just kind of our first, flag in the ground, if you will, and how we were going to proceed. And so then, well, in the same way that we compiled a list of, 3,000 contacts at universities, we turned around and then compiled a list of emails at 200 different companies and realized, we have an audience of 4,000 students. Who wants to get in front of those students? Well, people who want to hire those students. And so that's when we then actually reached out to all of these different companies to then sell ads in our book. So we turned our book actually into a product for advertising for companies who wanted to hire the students who were now going to be reading it, and ended up making enough money to completely pay for all the money we had invested into the book, hiring that consultant, the editing, all that, and then actually launching what's now been 4 businesses from the book. But initially, that gave us the funding to launch our first 2 companies.
How many companies advertised in the book?
We ended up having 6, including Kohl's, who actually paid us $1,000 to get into our book, which, you know, it just comes back to, you really never know what you're capable of. And getting in, I mean, getting Kohl's to pay us for this book that we had written, I mean, you just, sometimes when you're starting from nothing, you just have to get super creative, find ways to get in front of your audience, and then find ways to monetize that in, you know, wherever that value may be. For us, it's an audience. We had the audience of 40,000 students. So, well, Kohl's wants to hire those students. Okay, Kohl's, do you want to give us $1,000? And Richard Branson is actually, I can't even lie, he's a huge inspiration of mine. One of his first companies was actually a magazine on campus that he distributed amongst his peers. It was a student, it was actually called Student Magazine. It would be my dream to advertise for Richard Branson's books one day as a side note. But he distributed it, and then he turned around, called up Coke and said, "Hey, Pepsi just bought an ad in our magazine. You know, would you like to buy an ad too?" And he got them both, I believe, to advertise in his magazine. So it's just a little bit of creativity.
By the way, my brief exposure to you, that will happen. I mean, you make things happen. So Richard Branson, just watch out. Okay, but I still, just to understand the brass tacks. So the schools say yes. Did they distribute the ebooks to their students? Is that how it worked?
It was a PDF, and we wanted to control the messaging. And so we actually wrote the emails for the universities, because universities are incredibly bureaucratic. They're horrible at sending out emails to students. Students barely open them. And so we actually ended up doing all the copy. And in the same way that, you know, you received my email, we actually created that so that the emails would actually get to students. And so another way that we also made it enticing for the companies is we actually created, in this, since we had full control over the material going out, we actually created links on each of the advertisements that led directly to applications. So companies could actually, the students would actually be driven directly to applications for those companies from the book.
That's genius. So you had to act fast. The universities say yes. And then you had to, did you say, well, we got to redesign the book because we got to put the ads in there. How did that work?
Yeah. Thank God for Canva. I absolutely love Canva. I think about up until about just 3 weeks, and we had this, I can see in my head now, we had this timeline, even up until like 3 weeks before the book sent out, we closed our last deal, I think was with Elephant Insurance or something like that. And yeah, it's just absolutely crazy experience in terms of how quickly things just kind of blew by there.
So you didn't think, oh, we're going to try to get these colleges to have this book on their curriculum, because that's a much tougher sell, and you were thinking more long term. Is that right?
Exactly. Universities, and it's, you know, one of our original businesses was working with universities. They are extremely bureaucratic. And, you know, you would hope that the forefront of our educational system here in the US would be fast moving and innovative. And unfortunately, it's just, it just isn't set up that way. I mean, I know you went to Trinity, you loved your college experience. I'm a Hokie, Virginia Tech through and through, like still love my college experience, but unfortunately they are just kind of big bureaucratic organizations at some point. And so we knew that to work it into the curriculum would just take forever, but it has been a nice surprise because of that upfront exposure. And I know some of your clients talk about this as well, with when you launch their books, the word of mouth, whether it's on social media or just the long-term impact that ends up occurring is unbelievable, where even now we'll still do a quick search for the book every now and again, and it's appearing in professors' syllabuses who are now recommending the book. And that's students who are now going out and buying the book on Amazon. So, it's definitely evolved just beyond that initial core marketing strategy. But that's the great thing about marketing, is if you come up with a great strategy, it's, you know, can continue to pay dividends down the road through word of mouth.
Yeah, then other people are selling your book for you, like that professor. I have a side note about Trinity and my love for it. And this, it's exactly on this topic. This is so heartbreaking. I get emails from Trinity students all the time that say like, oh, hey, can I pick your brain? I'd spend my whole time having my brain picked if I said yes. So I reached out to Trinity and I said, I loved being a student there. I majored in creative writing. I would love to do an online event so that I could help all these people at once. They say, yes, that would be great. Oh my God. So they ask this visiting professor, they send me this email and say, great news. This visiting professor, Lucy Ferris, I don't mind saying her name, is going to interview you. And I'm like, great. Lucy Ferris accidentally sends me an email saying, I've tried to find her New York Times bestselling book and I can't. She sure makes a big deal about it in her bio. So basically the professor at Trinity, the school I loved so much that made me want to be a writer, was claiming I was lying about it. And she just accidentally got busted. And it just broke my heart. And my mom was a college professor and she's like, you don't understand. They're the most evil bureaucrats on earth. I thought I was trying to help, because the truth is they didn't teach me anything about becoming a writer. They just taught me to love writing. And that's not much of a service to your students.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're already seeing the educational system be completely disrupted right now. I could go on and on about that, but basically I agree with you.
God, it was so mean. It was so mean. And I wrote her and I said, my college professors, both of them are now deceased, would have been so happy for me. And Trinity made me want to be a writer. And I wish you felt that way about your students, you know, and not competitive or accusing them of lying or whatever it was. Anyway, sorry, I hadn't talked about that. I mean, I've talked about it privately, but you're the first I've told, because it was embarrassing. Anyway, I apologize, listeners, if that sidetrack was not interesting. But let's get back to what you did. Okay, So then, what else, when did you learn about Amazon ads?
Yeah. So the consultant who we hired, she didn't offer to do the ads, but she said, hey, this is something you should look into. And so, okay, well, we ignored that for, you know, a year or so. Like we ignored all the other advice about like, hey, you know, you should look at marketing the book. And again, how we walk with a limp today. So eventually finally got around to it. And a year on using Amazon ads, actually were able to bring the book back into top 10 of various categories just from Amazon ads years down the road. We don't still advertise it, but the Amazon ads that I was doing for the book, we had a few authors who kind of took note of that and then reached out. So then I was like, sure, as a side gig, this is a little bit of a rabbit hole, but basically I first job out of college, again, using the experience over degrees sort of methodology, was making six figures as a software developer. That was in my past life, that's what I was doing. And then realized I did not want to do that the rest of my life because it, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to be challenging myself. And so I quit my job to travel the world. Something called COVID happened. And so I started working on some side income, working on a few authors' accounts who were like, okay, you've done great with your ads. Now, you know, can you kind of take a look at my book? And I was actually working, I ended up living most of last year down in Ecuador, pretty much just surfing and then working on my laptop. That's pretty much what I do day in and day out. And so it was actually from there that now about a year and a half later, we now work currently on over 100 different books, have worked on over 200 books. So we've seen it all and have actually worked on over $300,000 in ad spend. So it has grown purely through word of mouth. We have done up until this point, no marketing. This podcast is actually one of the very first, this past month is the first time we have ever done marketing. And that's just because it's my goal now to build out a more comprehensive digital marketing, agency. And I'm really excited to do so. But yeah, word of mouth, man, you cannot look past that. So that's how we've sort of gotten to where we are today.
So we should mention it's called Advanced Amazon Ads, and you can, it'll be in the show notes. So if you had advice for people, let's say, who can't hire you, what is your Amazon ads advice?
Yeah, absolutely. It is to start small. I know a lot of people say this, but actually try things. It's to treat it like a job, show up consistently. So I'm all over the place. We'll categorize this as three things. We'll say first is going to be start small. So when I say start small, I say, let's make sure that you're running ASIN campaigns, make sure that you're running category campaigns, make sure that you're running your keyword campaigns. And those are the three core ones that you should be doing. On top of that, I would also say common word campaigns are actually a beautiful way to start. So there is a loophole in the Amazon ad system that is unlike Facebook ads, unlike Google ads. It doesn't even work for Amazon Amazon products. It only works for Amazon books. And that is, you can actually target words that Amazon will then pull. Like, you can target the word book, and Amazon will then use that word, find 100 or 200 relevant things that your book should be targeted. So let's say, you know, I have a lady's book who I advertise about gardening. They will then actually place that for you in the 100 or so ways that people are actually looking for the word gardening book. And so these common words are actually an amazing way to sort of almost as a basically like hack Amazon to actually find these keywords for you. So that's something we start from the ground with all of our authors. I actually ended up, again, software developer background, building out a program to actually allow us to do targeting that no one else can do on Amazon to the level that we do it. And so then over time you get, you want to get more focused and focused. So start small, use common word targeting, and make sure you're targeting all the different types. Don't just do keyword targeting. Make sure you're also doing ASIN targeting and category targeting and all the other ones as well.
Can I ask one question? Does that same thing work for keywords? Like, should you be putting gardening book as a keyword, tail, or?
Exactly. You know? And so that's the whole, over time, the strategy is you pull out, Amazon provides you with these search term reports, which basically provides you with the keywords that have actually, customers have actually typed into the search box when they buy your book. And so then you're actually able to take those keywords, put those into another research campaign. Amazon will then use those. Now you're having even more targeting to then actually find more long tail. And then you get those, you pull those, and now all of a sudden you're targeting those. And so every single iteration builds on itself. And then this is also a great way with over time as the competitive landscape changes, where you're going to have new books enter the market about gardening. Some books are going to gain popularity. You're immediately ready to start targeting those ahead of anyone else because you're constantly using these search terms to actually build out new research campaigns. And then also, now that you know it's actually selling, you can then pull those exact keywords that are selling your book into their own campaign as a, you know, it's called a performance campaign, to actually make sure that you are targeting the exact things that are selling your book. So you can use it in two ways, as research, to use Amazon's algorithms to basically find those for you, and then actually specifically target them as well.
Do you think Amazon is going to sort of catch up and go, wait a minute, we don't want to sell gardening books to someone looking for a trowel or whatever, and they'll change it?
Looking for a...
trowel. I'm just trying to say a gardening term.
Oh, because okay. I'm assuming I don't even know what that is.
No, but so somebody, because I want to make sure I understand this. Somebody looking for gardening items puts that in the search, and that book will come up. But is Amazon going to catch on and go, well, wait a minute, we don't want books to come up when somebody's looking for a product, or does it serve them to keep it that way?
Yeah, to my knowledge, you're not able to target products. So this is specifically within the keywords. This is other books. This is specifically books targeting other books.
Oh, but I thought you said, what's the loophole then that you were talking about?
So the loophole is, I know some of this stuff can get so down in the grains. And basically the loophole that I'm talking about is targeting other books using these core common keywords. So let's say I target the word book. I can then get Amazon to make me appear for to basically feed me keywords that are going to work really well for this book across the board. So they're going to actually go and find those keywords that customers are searching for when they buy these other books, and they're going to give me that data. And that's the loophole coming in the back end for these other books, not for products, but you are going to use ASIN targeting to target those specific books as well.
Okay. And it's different than what you can get on Publisher's Rocket on Dave Chesson's.
It is. So we still use Publisher Rocket. We love it. It's just not the only thing we do. It is a good supplementary, where then once Amazon feeds you those words back, you can then run those through Dave's software. And then that's going to provide you with even more targeting as well.
And I will say, we will have my affiliate link to Publishers Rocket in the show notes. That is just the best tool and so affordable.
Absolutely.
So how long do you believe, in order to make an impact, books have to run Amazon ads today?
No, I don't. And I think there's a lot of authors who shouldn't. I don't think it's for everyone. Basically, there is an evolution that's occurring, and it's the same evolution that occurred on Facebook. It's the same evolution that occurred on Google, where cost per click is only going to continue to get more expensive. Now, for a lot of your listeners, because of the nature of their books, where they use it as part of a back-end funnel of business, it's the same way. We don't even take clients who are just trying to make money on the sale of that book anymore, because the people who are able to advertise, because they understand that the value of that cost per click is actually so much more. It's a $30,000 speaking gig, or it's a $1,000 backend course. They are going to be able to outspend the independent nonfiction author who just has one book out there every single day. And we're about in the Middle Ages right now. So things have matured where things are getting more expensive, and oftentimes the best that an independent book can do right now is break even with Amazon ads. But moving forward, it is only going to get more expensive. Now, fiction authors, it doesn't mean they're out yet. They still can, as long as they have a series of somewhere between, or at least above 3 books in their series, then they're still going to be able to make money on their read through. Because let's say they break even on that first book, through that second book and that third book, they're still going to be able to recoup their investment. But anyone with just one book who is trying to make money on Amazon, it is not for you. I have seen that happen over and over again, and I would recommend making sure that when you write your book, and I know you do an absolutely great job with making sure that people have their funnels built out strongly in their book, is make sure that you have a funnel with your book. Build a business around your book. Don't just write the book.
Or, you know what, like with me with Make Your Mess Your Memoir, there's no real funnel, but I got hundreds of thousands of dollars in new clients.
Exactly.
So some businesses, a funnel isn't gonna, you're not gonna sell enough for it to be worth it. It really has to be a high ticket item, in my experience.
Yeah.
And something I learned the hard way is, so if you upload your book onto Ingram for Amazon distribution, you cannot run Amazon ads. That broke my heart.
There is a way around that.
Oh, so, really?
Yes. So I won't go into the specifics of them here, because I actually even just send my clients who have Ingram Sparks to this article, but I will, I'll share that with you after. But there is actually a way to, even though your books are on Ingram Sparks, still have the Kindle and even the paperback listed for Amazon ads.
Well, that's amazing, because I reached out to an Amazon ad specialist and they said, well, you're out of luck. If you listed it on Ingram, you can't run Amazon ads.
That's interesting that they said that.
Yeah, they just didn't know. And then they tried to run BookBub ads are really complicated, because your audience has to be on BookBub. And I feel like only writers are on BookBub and not readers.
Yeah, I can't speak too much to that platform. I like to talk about things that I know really well, and that's Amazon advertising. And
Well, and let me ask you this: so you've got these clients with the funnel. How do the ads reflect on sales? Because obviously, you can show the ad, but you can't guarantee that the person who sees it is going to buy the book.
Yeah. So there is a separate platform that Amazon provides you with called Amazon Marketing Services is the platform. We call it AMS, because who wants to say that all the time really long? So it's the AMS dashboard that actually provides you with the up-to-date, best it can, basically knowledge on sales that have come directly from the ads. Now, that platform, it's only gotten more accurate over time, but there's still inefficiencies in it. And sometimes, I mean, I can't tell you, I literally spend an hour in Amazon ad forums every single day, basically reading, answering questions, writing the stuff. And so the amount of times I see people complaining because that dashboard is notorious for not being real-time accurate. So you're not going to get sales on there that are within the past 7 to 14 days being very accurate, but anything past that is pretty accurate. And spend on there is very accurate. It just comes, orders and sales are going to be a little bit delayed. So,
mm-hmm. And do clients want to be able to see the sales to know what the results are, but then you constantly have to probably remind them, hey, you're not making your money off of sales.
Exactly. And so at the end of every, I mean, don't get me wrong, we still have a lot of clients who do make money on their ads. It's just, we understand where the platform is headed. We know you can't run a business and be looking where things currently are. You have to be seeing what's happening currently in the market. And Russell Brunson, I'm a big fan of his books, especially Traffic Secrets, where he talks about how expensive Facebook ads have gotten, how expensive Google ads have gotten. Amazon is no different. They are the next one in that series of pay-per-click platforms that are getting more and more expensive. Yep. And so understanding this, we know that. Now, you know, today, yes, people can still make money on their books, but we know where it's going. That's going to disappear in the next year or two. And when I say make money on their books, I mean making money from the sales of their books on Amazon. We report to our clients at the end of every month. We say, you know, here's the orders that you sold. Here's the amount of spend that you incurred. We like to hear about their funnels, basically how it is set up, and then find a way to be able to track the traffic that comes through that as well. So that's how we do things based on the AMS dashboard, which provides us somewhat of an accurate view into what sales have actually come from the ads themselves.
Fascinating. So we got to wrap up. Let me ask you this. Are you working on book number two?
Not related to experience over degrees. I think those days are behind me. I still love experiences. Everything's experiences. But this next book, which is due out August 1st, will actually be all around Amazon ads. And I will actually be, you know, like I've said now multiple times, never trust somebody who doesn't walk with a limp. I'm excited to now actually use the strategies that I've worked with on other clients for actually this book, because we do have an Amazon ads course that we have up on our website and obviously our service. And so that is something that I plan on actually using as a lead generation tool for the business as well. But also, I'm going to give it all in that book. I'm a big fan of Jay Shetty. He talks about his whole thing is he gives it all for free, and I will give it all for free in this book. But there are people who can't commit to it unless they put a dollar alongside of it. They can't show up unless they've put some investment into it. Well, that's what the course will be. But we'll give it all in the book as well.
Yeah, or they're like me and they buy the book. I David Groggin, I bought, you know, some of his, and then their brain spontaneously combusts when they're reading it and they're like, I can't do this myself. I thought I could, but I can't.
That's another thing. That's why, because there's a dozen Amazon advertising books out there. Our goal is to create a simple one. So that is in my previous job, that was actually as a sales engineer. And so basically what I was paid to do was develop platforms and then go sell them to various companies and then say, be able to explain the technology to non-technology people. And so that is my goal here is with Amazon ads is actually to be able to break it down and provide it in a simple way that, you know, we can all sort of understand. And, you know, if I didn't have the tech background, I could actually understand it myself as well. So that is the goal.
Okay. I'm excited to actually understand this whole thing. You know, one thing that I neglected to ask you, you mentioned that you built four businesses from that book. Will you briefly tell us what they are?
Yeah. So the four businesses were the initial actual ability to sell those to companies like Kohl's, sell the advertisements to companies like Kohl's. My good friend and colleague, Rishav Kanal, has now actually branched off and he's got a very profitable business actually consulting with young professionals who hate their jobs. I believe it's like for 12% of their first year salary or something, he'll help them get their dream job, which is a wonderful business model. He has people approaching him every day now for it. So he's built that profitable business from it. We also built a software/consulting company from it as well. We built our own software to help companies build out campus manager programs. And so we ended up selling two contracts to American Woodmark and Red Ventures. But the only thing is when it comes to tech and security, no one wants to trust two dudes and a dog, which is how we came across. And funding, neither of us were ready to go down the funding route at that point. We still had a lot to learn. So we didn't really end up following through with that. And then obviously my Amazon ads business. So that rounds out the four businesses.
Why do you not have a business getting companies to advertise in books?
So I think there's something there. I'm not going to lie. I still think that is a huge opportunity that is out there, and authors actually taking control and using that as a whole nother revenue model for products that are very aligned with the message they're giving to actually sell ads. Like, I think that would completely change the industry. I'm not prepared to take that one on, but anyone here who's listening, or Anna, maybe that one's for you. I can provide some tips on how we sold some companies, but yeah, I think that could change a lot.
I know, less effective in the paperback, but for the ebook, a genius thing. I wish you did it, because I'd have you do it for me and my clients, but alas. Well, if people want to find out more about you, obviously they can go to the show notes, which will be launchpadpub.com/blog/Alex. But where else can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we actually have a specific secret page on our website set up, which is advancedamazonads.com/gifts, where listeners here of Anna's show will also actually get the book for free. So when that comes out on August 1st, that book will actually be totally free. We also have some other resources there to help you with Amazon ads, along with a coupon offer our course. So feel free to check that out. Obviously, always happy to be able to extend some value here to Anna and her fans.
And I will link to that in the show notes very prominently, because that is super generous of you guys. So guys, please go grab that. I can't tell you how useful that will be for you and your career. So that's it. Wrapping up. Alex, thank you so much for your time. You're a delightful guest.
Anna, thank you so much for having me.
It was great. Thanks for joining me this week on Launch Your Book with Anna David. For more info about the show, go to launchyourbookpod.com, where you can get show notes and so much more. If you got anything out of this episode, I can't tell you how much I would appreciate a review. And don't forget, my company, Launchpad Publishing, is here to help you at any stage in your writing and publishing journey. Just go to launchpadpub.com for more, and be sure to tune in next week for next week's episode.